I am unashamed. What about you?
I haven't seen any teal, but there's good water on the dog, and there's water up if you hunt the elbow, if you hunt around there on that north side.
I think is where we need to
the hunt. Elbow, if you hunt on the north side, there's
north
water. North side, you know, you're right here on the end.
Yeah, if there's not any on the east side,
it's a water around there a little bit, but it's pretty narrow. But I mean, it's water there. So they may.
You realize this is the first podcast that we talk about duck hunting. I mean, the real deal in almost a year.
Yeah, so it's
at least
we can mention that in a minute if y'all want.
We're mentioning it right now. We're rolling.
Oh, is that right?
We've been talking this whole time.
Well, look, listen to this. When me and Jep.
I love when we turned it on before Dad knows.
Jep and I were coming back the other day from Texas. Of course, I leave early because of traffic. So I left at like 5 o'clock. But as soon as that sun, it was still the glow. We're going out in the middle of Texas somewhere. I said, look, Jep. Of course, Jep's looking, you know, he's looking for a cow or something. A huge bunch of teal. Just look, they just flew right in front of me. I mean, literally in gun range.
Good night.
And I said, that's the sign.
Yep.
Jep said, the sign for what? I said, that it's here.
The passage is beginning.
Yeah, I mean, we're in South Texas.
So where would you rather start Saturday morning? On the dog, or you want to try over on the
elbow? I thought the dog didn't have any water.
Dogs have plenty of water. I had to lower it a foot. I refurbished that scaffold there. I refurbished it. We'll have to take a P-Rogue down there and leave it, or just drive the Argo out there, go around, come around the other side.
I think I'm going to need to look before
you leave.
I make that decision.
Yep.
I'm going to have to take a look. Because there's no grass.
The food, oh.
That's ripe.
That's ripe. You're correct.
So they would just be coming in just to.
That's correct. So that's why I just said. You know, it doesn't make me any difference at all. I think we got about as much chance as one as the other.
Right. Yeah. Teal. But
have you seen any teal here?
Not a teal. I haven't seen it. But,
well, I saw the bunch in Texas. That was 2 days ago?
There is supposed to be a cool down coming pretty quick within a week.
Our listeners, the cool down is instead of the high being 95, it's 88.
That's right.
I don't know if I could call that a cool down. It's going to be slightly less hot.
Fog was hanging in the bottom out here this morning. First time I've seen that. It was hanging here early, so it's cooling down.
You get a little bit more. And at night, especially when you can tell.
It's hot. It's not.
I'm just telling you, when you see low-hanging fog, and it was cool right here in this bottom right here.
I would say it was 69 this morning.
Yep.
Before daylight.
Yep.
That's still pretty warm. I mean, what do you set your central air on?
75.
Good grief, that's hot.
It's always hot in their house.
My bedroom, 72. But just
we need to explore this. Now, what?
The short expiration. If you put it at 75, it won't run all day. You put it on 72, it'll sit there and run for 10 hours without going off. It ain't got the juice to cool it down.
Now you need a bigger unit.
Bigger unit or a little more, you know, what they put in there? They run out of whatever they run out of.
What is that?
What's it called?
Coolant.
Freon.
A little Freon. Yeah. I thought you meant insulation.
It gets a little low on Freon, and then you're trying to cool it down to 72. It's just going to run all day. Kay, she did it. I said, get away from that. I'm not going to listen to that thing run all day. The temperature don't change and it runs 10 hours. I don't care. She said, well, it says 70. I said, I don't care what it says.
You need to get some insulation in there.
Yeah, maybe need a little more insulation.
Yeah, all right.
Of course, the inner structure is the original house that was built in 72.
But are you like me, or do you feel like you need to see that first bunch of teal before you've, I have to see that, but I saw that on an interstate, and now I'm like, all right, we're here. Because usually I've gone dove hunting by now, but, you know, the hurricane all messed all that up. You know, nobody killed any doves around here.
Oh, the hurricane blew them out of here, didn't it?
I guess. I mean,
I didn't even think about that.
It should have.
I if seen, I was I've a seen bird. Very few squirrels since that time and no cranes.
Well, Phil, I mean,
that wind.
I literally every morning see a group of squirrels that was in a tree. They're trying to make do. They had a nest in the tree. The tree blew down. And they won't just go to another tree. You know, it's in a neighborhood, so. But, I mean, they're like, they're still living in the tree on the ground. Yeah. But they're bewildered.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess, you know.
Well, I was driving out here today, and I took Ike Kelly, which is kind of a, you know, not many houses, mostly logging area and hunting area. And I would say there were probably at least a dozen to 15 trees that had obviously come across the road because I could see where they had cut them off.
Right down here where
it was unbelievable.
Jace, there are hundreds of
trees. Yeah, I wonder about the
down.
Property look like.
I really liked that sermon I heard Sunday. The guy who filled in for you, Tommy.
Tommy, yeah.
He was coming out of that place where God took the foolish things of the world to shame the wise and think of what you were when you were called. Because he did, I do a similar thing when I have my speeches or whatever, because I, you know, you look at the creation, it points to the creator, and you look at an acorn compared to a tree. And he's like, hey, I got for all you intellects, all you ones that are saying this all happened by a natural process that you really can't explain. He's like, or they may ask, you know, prove that there's a God or show me Jesus. And he's like, I got something for you. All these trees that are laying down, go make one. Just this.
And
science,
you don't get an acorn. He said, you don't get an acorn.
Yeah. And you get no acorn.
You get no acorn.
Because we're looking at acorn saying, okay, some force is causing this to happen. I remember being confused in school. Fifth, sixth grade, yeah, they introduced the word photosynthesis. And I thought, no, I need to look into that. Because I was thinking, that is what's causing everything to live. Who is this photosynthesis? Oh, it's just a word they made up. It sounds sophisticated.
Let me give you a good idea. You can drive over there, that 400 acres we just bought, added on to the deal. You drive through there, and I'm looking out across there. It's old growth timber, and I could just see tree after tree after tree after tree blown down, broke down. But look, underneath all of the upper story, the leaves, just looking out across the ground, there literally are, I see the ones laying down that just blew over. There are millions of seedlings. They're about this long. They're about 6 to 8 inches tall. Oak seedlings, millions, so much you can't see the ground. It's solid seasoning. It's just solid. Them little bitty trees about 6 to 8 inches tall. I mean, there's a crop coming underneath that thing. They could have all blown down, and it all give them about 75 years, and whew, all of them would be exactly back. Just like the other one.
Yeah. But he made a good point. He said, to be honest, they can't, the most highly intellectual scientific community of the world, most not believing in God, they can't make anything on purpose.
Thousands.
They can't make anything on purpose, but they expect you to believe that it all happened by accident.
Yeah, by chance.
Just think about that.
Oh.
It was quite a statement.
One acorn this big. They're all over the ground out there now. The wind, the hurricane blew them all off, blew a lot of them off. They're all on the ground. The deer are having a big time. Everybody's eating. They're laying all over the ground. But if you just look at it, you say one acorn turns into tons of wood. One tree, tons.
Yep.
You just think of one little acorn.
What
creating, just coming up, and you look at it in 75 or 80 years, and you're like, it's like this.
Right.
I mean, just, you could build a house out of it.
Right.
One acorn. pretty amazing.
Well, I tell you this, if you were a tree hugger, now is that they need you. Because they are laying down.
There's a lot of hugging.
Can you imagine if you had just been over there, out there walking around when all that was happening?
Hey, I mean, it took 2 days with a bulldozer leading the way, and I had my four-wheeler with a good chainsaw and plenty of oil and gas, just cleaning up here, there, and yonder around there, you know. Yeah. But it took two full days to even get down there to where we duck hunt.
Just to cut your
trees
way in.
Across the road. I mean, big trees.
We've all heard what it sounded like.
It hurt
tree
my
falls.
Feelings.
I mean, it's a frightening sound when just one tree falls. I mean, they make all a right. racket. Can you imagine all those things just one
but
right
it,
after the
but
other?
But it is a good
I'm
point.
Not a tree hugger, Jace, but it hurt my feelings.
Well,
so many had fallen.
I said one time, the only tree that I hugged the cross of Jesus because yeah. of who was on it. I mean, but the point is, if you just took an acorn, I mean, if you just had a display as far as the evidence of God and went around with an acorn and take people outside and look at a tree and just say, explain this. Sermon over. experiment over.
Yeah.
We just take that for granted.
I know it.
Just like we do when our bodies heal. Nobody really explained that. You know, they'll say, well, the doctors
That's
patch
one of the reasons.
They patch you up, but they don't.
They don't
ignite
heal you.
The healing
That's
process.
One of the reasons I plant trees. We planted thousands of bald cypress because the world needs more bald cypress. But those bald cypress, we planted those with the help of the Latinos that work for the government, whatever. They come over there, and they plant a lot of it. And then we plant a lot ourselves.
So they started out about 8 inches long.
Yeah, me and old dad. Look, the little seedlings about like that. You just can't even see them in the grass. And you just watch them. And now they're up there about 12 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, good grief. Man, this is getting prettier as the day. Each year they get prettier.
Right.
It's a sight to see.
Yeah, and it's one we all observe. But it's just, you know, the thing that struck me about the hurricane, and I was thinking about what you just said. I mean, you look at tree growth in terms of decades.
That's right.
You know, what it does. But isn't it something how, to Tommy's sermon, because his sermon was called Defeat the Thief, and he was kind of coming out of John 10 with the idea about the thief is here to kill and destroy, but Jesus came to give us abundant life. You know, it's that passage. But I thought about that. One storm came through here, and it was just a few hours when it went by here.
Mm-hmm.
But look at what it tore down in that Ooh. Few hours of destruction compared to what it takes to build that up over years. And I thought, you know, it really is a lot harder to build something than it is to destroy something. And I thought about that the week before. Mike did a thing on, showed some video of people out here cleaning up in our community. And they were smiling and neighbors helping neighbors and people got chainsaws and they're cutting their way and cutting it off their neighbor's house. And then I you know, contrasted that to people going down in city streets and just destroying everything in sight, just spray painting it, ruining it. And I thought, man, is that not a contrast that we're looking at about good and evil? You know, here we got a community that says we're going to help you rebuild and build up your property. Another group says we're going to destroy everything on our side. And I thought, that's the contrast. You know, when you
the
look
old
at
judge
it.
That lives up there where the gate is, a big tree just fell. Missed the gate, got one of my poles, video surveillance, got one of those and knocked it down.
Oh, boy.
Brought his fence to the ground. And, I mean, you were not getting by there without a chainsaw or a bulldozer or a track hoe. So, Red, we went down there, you know, and cut that log up so we could drive through to get out of here
if
we needed to be. But all that other stuff, the energy people come in and said, we'll remove it. We'll remove all that off of that. So they
it took a week to get power out here.
It took a week.
And they had to rebuild everything. Let's take a quick break. So one of the things that COVID-19, we've been talking a lot about it on the podcast, one of the things that it unfortunately has done is brought up cybercrime. It's up 75%. Over just 6 months ago.
Because of the pandemic?
Well, because there's more people online, and so there's more people driving the crooks,
this
see?
Would fall in the heading of those who invent ways of doing evil.
Exactly.
They'll virtually steal your house.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and so they can literally do it, because the legal title to your home is online. These guys get on there, and so it's home title theft, and that's what they do. They basically forge your signature. They quit claim your deed, and then they refile as the owner of your home. So then they run up all these loans, and all of a sudden somebody shows up at your house and says, you're out. You know, you foreclosed on your loan, but you never knew somebody got it.
It's terrible, but I would love for someone to show up and tell you that.
I'd love to see how that worked out. Yeah. So the first thing you got to do is you got to go to HomeTitleLock.com, HomeTitleLock.com. You register your address to see if you're already a victim. Then use the code FEEL. You get 30 days free for protection of your home. So that's code FEEL at HomeTitleLock.com.
But it puts it in perspective about stuff. You know, a lot of people are so obsessed with stuff. One storm should put it in perspective for you.
It should.
Better not put your hope in that.
But you see it. I mean, people are just, it reminds me of the story about the guy building, you know, he spent his whole life putting all his stuff in the barn. Then you got to
build
another barn. I mean, where's it going to stop?
4 months' time. Let's see. Pandemic. Let's see. Wildfires, hurricanes. Look, it's just the way it is.
It's always
got to suck
something.
It up. You just got to suck it up and say, "Hey, but let's put it back together here best we can and rock on."
Right, that's true.
Yeah, but he had a good point because the simplicity of life is that, you know, when you read the account in Genesis, you know, God breathing life into man's nostrils. And I mean, when you see life on the planet, it to me is so simple that there has to be a source for that. Because to me, and people will look at me and call that foolish thinking.
They'll look you right now, Jace, when you say, "How did it get here?" And they'll say, "A large explosion." I'm like, the Big Bang. Yeah, the large. I said, "Well, what was there right before it exploded? What was there?
Who lit that fuse?"
They'll tell you. They said there was nothing there. I said, "So how does nothing explode? If nothing can't explode."
Well, it was a firecracker, but every time I'm full of firecrackers, is somebody lights the thing, and then it goes boom. And when I was a kid, young and stupid, I first one I took, I lit it because I was thinking I'd have time to throw it. But I was so enamored, it's pow.
You didn't do that anymore.
You did that no more.
Didn't do that anymore. You know. And of course, mom was like, "What'd you do?" And it was like, "It just, you know, it's like any other kid." You know what I mean? It's like it just went off. Yeah. Yep.
It's
kind of like some of the boys setting off all those fireworks. Every once in a while, I notice one of those guys gets on fire.
Oh, yeah.
They're rolling.
And what do you do with a kid that says that? You whoop his butt because he's lying. But somebody out here saying that all this just went off. I'm like, yep, you need your butt whooped is what you need.
Did you see the story from yesterday? I thought it was yesterday. It was sometime this past day or two, Labor Day weekend, that they have these things now. It's a big turned into a big industry that to reveal the gender of your baby. So a woman's pregnant, and they find out it's a boy or a girl. So they get all the family and friends together, and so they've now coming up with different ways to, you know, tell what that is. It's turned into these big reveal parties. This is a big thing going across the country. So
the woman wants you to know whether it's a female or
that's
a male.
Right. Yeah, and it will. So they got one. That's
why
like,
would that be such a big test? I mean,
it's
like you can't do anything about it.
I don't understand it, but it's a thing. So out in California, there's a couple. You know, California is a tinder box. You know, you talk about light a match and burn the whole thing. I mean, it's just ready to burn. So they do one of these pyro deals, and it's supposed to shoot out either a blue if it's a boy or pink if it's a girl, some sort of firework display. So they fire it off. Unfortunately, something goes wrong, and they catch one of them wildfires that's still going, or it was last night.
That's how the fire started.
And that's how the fire started on a gender reveal party. Look, it's already burned 8,000 acres, the last report I heard on it. And now they've had 6,000 fire. You know, I mean, and of course, now they're saying this couple can go to jail. They're responsible to pay.
It does beg the question, what were they thinking?
I mean, yeah, it just makes you. And then you're like, but I would hate to live in a place where one wrong move and you can burn the whole place down. I mean, I don't know which is worse in that situation. But it does seem kind of trivial Yeah. Over there, when all you had to do is say, it's a girl. You know, just you could do it that way. I've seen ones where they open up a package and then the balloons come out. They're either pink or, you know, which is a lot more safe, I guess, than the pyro. But when you said that about the fireworks, I was thinking this poor couple just burned and they're still burning.
Well, that's kind of sad.
It's awful. It's terrible. Yeah. And now they're going to probably
I like a good fireworks, but if you like fireworks, you don't need to be living in California.
Don't do it in California.
California always burned up every year.
You know, they always have a lot of wildfires out there, but it seems to be, of course, they're all saying it's global warming, but it seems to be worse the last 20 years to me. But maybe we just didn't have 24-hour media where every time there's a fire, somebody's watching, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe that's what it is.
I mean, you know, I don't remember it being as bad as it is, but it's not good. I mean,
well, when I went to Yellowstone, you know, in Montana a few weeks ago, I mean, there were... One of the things the guy kept saying is, you know, that was the fire of 2017. Yeah. There's the fire of 2014. There's 2010. Y'all have a lot of wildfires down there.
Well, remember we were in Tahoe playing golf, the same thing. I mean, the whole side of one of them mountains up there, it just torched, you know. I mean, it's so dry.
But the whole point is when you look around on the earth, I mean, you start talking about disease, fires, earthquakes. I mean, I would look if there was the slimmest chance that there was an actual designer and a being that was the author of life, wouldn't you at least be open-minded enough to say, this place is dangerous. It's combustible.
That's right.
You got hurricanes coming up and typhoons and storms and fires. And the bottom line is we're perishable.
Yep.
Look, to me, it would be more intelligent to look for a way around all that. I mean, to me, that's not foolish at all. They're like, oh, that's simple-minded, foolish thinking. When he's right, when you scrape everything away, just make a tree. Nope, you do like everybody else. You throw it in the ground. You can call it some big fancy photosynthesis word, and then you get back out of the way, and guess what? Something makes it grow that you can't explain. You can't do it. And you can't hardly even stop it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You know, one of the things is when we went and filmed for that episode, that Hawaii episode for Duck Dynasty, we stayed on the Big Island. And I just marveled. It was almost like this little creation petri dish. Because we're on that big rock, and it's the biggest island out of the Hawaiian chain. But on one end of it, you're close that the mantle there has just been cracked. So you got lava just flowing out of the ground and into the ocean. You saw it from a helicopter, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's incredible. That's on one end of the rock. Well, then you go over a little bit this way. And remember, we went up into those two mountainous areas. It was like we were in Scotland.
Yeah.
It was cold. We had to buy jackets.
That's when we went hogging.
Yeah.
That was the unseen.
And it was
footage.
Lush green.
Oh, it just was beautiful. I mean,
and at the bottom,
it was like a prairie.
It was like
desert.
7 inches of rain a year.
Right.
And up there was like 300 or something.
That's what I'm saying.
It is the wettest place. I like Louisiana's number two for rainfall. And that island in Hawaii, or the backside of it, was number one.
Yeah.
You don't say, is it going to rain? You say, remember that? He said, when's it going to stop raining? I thought that was when Steve Martin was the preacher. I forgot the name of that movie. Somebody out there saying it right now. It's actually a pretty good movie.
It's pretty good.
Leap of Faith.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
And, you know, 1 month a year, they ski on those two mountains. There's enough. It's high enough up where they get actually some snow. Nobody knew you could ski in Hawaii.
That.
Oh, yeah. But when you look at that, I just thought about it. That's probably one of the last ones to come up out of the water. You know, we're talking, you know, however God did it. But you still can see the creation process because you got all these different climates. What was it, 7 different climates on the island? So when I look at that, I'm thinking, man, what kind of being came up with an idea that this molten lava comes up out of the water and forms this rock that then all of a sudden starts growing all this great stuff on it, and you can ski on it, or you can go look at the lava on the other end?
No, well, the Earth's core, over millions of years, heated to a point where it created a dual... you know, I'll give you an explanation. And I'm like, Yeah. Who started the fire?
Let's start with the creator.
You have a fire, you know, like the sun. Who started it? Well, actually, I mean, you just ask people who are smart those simple questions and just watch them squirm. It ain't there. There's not a plausible explanation.
Let's take another break. So we know from running a business, you got a lot of stuff that goes on, a lot of stuff you have to take care of. The bigger your base of employees, and of course, we were all really tiny when we first started, but, you know, Duck Commander got up at one time, probably during the show running, having about 100-plus employees, a lot of people. One of the issues that you have when you get a lot more, you know, people working for you is human resources issues, HR issues, because you got all these labor regulations, minimum wage requirements, termination. You get all sorts of issues. And if you have to hire an HR guy, it's not very cheap. So one of our sponsors has come up with a great solution for especially small businesses called Bambee, B-A-M-B-E-E. And it's specifically made for small business. Basically, they're going to provide you with by phone, email, real-time chat, an HR manager that you don't have to hire. So you're going to have, you know, you just pay the monthly. No month-to-month, no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. So check these guys out at Bambee.com, Bambee.com/Robertson. Right now, you get a free HR audit if you go and you sign up. That's Bambee. Bambee.com/Robertson. And to your point, when we were talking about California a minute ago, because now, boy, they're always looking, these people start fires. But I think I read the other day, 92% of all fires, wildfires started in any of those western states are lightning.
Yeah.
Which has nothing to do with us. That's, I mean, right. It's dry ground, it's lightning, it starts a fire. So we get to thinking sometimes we're bigger than we are in this thing, like you said, but it's really not.
I mean, that's something we ought to do.
It's a natural occurrence.
Right.
No, let's stop lightning. Let's figure out a way to stop that because it kills people. I'm sure not many, but I mean, it does. It starts fires. Let's just stop it.
Yeah, we could do that. There'll be some group
right
that think they can.
Global warming, stop lightning, then let's fix the earthquakes. And then I'd say get tornadoes. That doesn't do anybody any good. Fix it.
Just fix it.
So anyway.
Well, speaking of Duck Dynasty, so we know we got a lot of the fans of Unashamed because I read so many emails. This last couple of weeks I've been a little hamster in the wheel trying to return emails, which, by the way, my new email is al@restorationproductions.net. So send your podcast to that because I got a little help
they
with it.
They need to put up one of those little graphics.
Yeah, he's going to put one up for me.
But some people just listen to the show. So
well, what I realize is from this going back through and trying to answer emails, I'm up to about a month behind, is that so many new people are listening to the podcast that they're just now hearing when I gave out my other email 3 months ago, because you know, say we have a lot of new people.
We're in a time warp.
But one of the things I want to talk about was that I know from every time I read something, one is that most of you are saying that it's making a huge impact on your life. The podcast, we're grateful for that
because we're unashamed.
We're unashamed about Jesus.
We're
willing to talk about it. We're talking about the Bible. As Dad mentioned last time on the podcast, a lot of you are coming to get baptized here, which is fine with us. Again, send me an email. I'll connect you to the right people. We can make that happen if you want to come here to get baptized.
But get to know Jesus in the meantime.
That's right. Make sure.
If you don't know Jesus, you're just getting wet. You can do that anywhere.
Yeah. I'll make sure they understand.
I wasn't chastising you. I was just saying. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just remember what it's all about.
This is not taking a swim. Immortality is riding on this on how you feel about Jesus Christ.
Well, we go through
the whole thing, make sure they understand. But it's not complex.
Right. So we've got three or four different locations that we meet at in town. Dad and Mom work at a place over in Monroe, a church plant. Jason and I, when we're in town, we're at WFR proper. So we'll let you know all that information if you want to get baptized. But a lot of you have said that your first connection to the family was obviously through the show. A lot of you were huge fans of the show. You realize the podcast is just an extension of who we are. I mean, the show was was really someone else's idea, but it was about our family. And it was funny, and we did.
And it was edited and embellished. I mean, to be honest, you know, what's frustrating for me is that I go do events. Of course, the coronavirus has limited those, but they're cranking back up.
Yep.
And, you know, I talk about Jesus, number one. I talk about our family because, you know, loving God, loving people. I talk about the duck calls because a lot of people are like, well, how did that happen? I usually do a lot of humor around the duck calls.
Where did this question come from? Yep. How long did Jace have to sleep on the couch for putting mud on Missy because she wore perfume? I said, what?
Well, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well. But look, so I'll talk about those three things, and then they'll do a Q&A. Well, here's what's puzzling. I don't really talk about Duck Dynasty, but all the questions are about the show. Right. They're like, what was the question you just asked?
The question is, how long did Jace have to sleep on the couch for putting mud on Missy because she wore perfume? I don't remember that episode.
I do. So that episode was when you and Willie took Missy and Corey deer hunting in Si Stan. And I guess, I don't remember that happening, but I guess you pushed to put mud on her face or something.
I've done that many times.
So I guess in the episode you were in trouble.
Put
so
face just, paint on her.
Yeah.
So face I believe paint. The truth is, I didn't sleep on the couch. So that must have been a temporary. You got to realize in marriage, sometimes you say things that you don't mean in the heat of the moment. So she probably said, you're sleeping on the couch. But guess what? She didn't follow through with that.
So here's a question for you. So I got some questions.
But I mean, are we going to do Duck
Dynasty? Yeah, we're
going to
do some questions. So these are a lot of you send me questions. And so we selected a few of them here, and we'll do a few of these just because I know people ask a lot of questions about the show. And we appreciate that you watch the show. And by the way, you know the show is still popular because Fox Nation, which is Fox News, just went and bought the show and now is running it on their streaming. So there's a lot of people still connecting to it. So we get that. It's a new generation.
Okay.
Here's one for you, Dad. Was the judge's pond really owned by a judge?
Then and now. It is.
Yeah, tell us about that. So is he a second-generation owner? Didn't his
dad was a judge. And now he's a judge. But he owned the property adjacent to our property.
Yeah. And side note, when I was a teenager, he chased me on several occasions.
I was going to say.
But he doesn't know that was me. But I know that was him.
Yeah. Now, was this the judge now or the older judge? Because we were afraid.
No, that's his daddy.
Yeah,
that's,
we were afraid. Okay. I was afraid of
dad. Dad.
You're going back to the judge's dad.
Well, the judge's dad chased me all over the two properties.
He's a great guy.
Because his pond, look.
But we used to go fishing with that.
Yeah, and then we go fishing.
One day, 75 vehicles came down the road going into my house, and when they all pulled up out in the yard, and this was, you know, the traffic was getting out of hand during the Duck Dynasty thing. Well, I go up there, and I tell the judge, I said, I'm going to have to put up a gate here. I said, now, we got two choices. I can put it on my property line, and you'll be on the outside of the gate, or I can put it on your property line over here, and you'll be inside the gate. I said, but it's your call. I don't care what you want to do. So you want to be inside the gate I'm going to put up, or do you want to be outside the gate?
That's kind of a no-brainer.
He said, Phil, put me inside the gate.
He's inside the gate.
I said,
Phil, that's a good idea.
I said, consider it done. So I put the gate, so he's inside the gate, and that knocked out because we want people to come. We have a place they can come if they just want to. We want to talk it over. We convert people. You're not going to hear some stories about. You're going to hear the story of Jesus, and if you want me to baptize you, I'll do it. But back in the day before Duck Dynasty, I could just people take them to the river, take them to the river, take them to the river. But now there was
more
so much traffic, I have to curtail it because I have to have some semblance of a life.
We had to have some structure.
Yeah.
Because we still want to do it, but we want to do it where it's not necessarily.
Yeah, you got to remember, I mean, it's just a.
You just got to remember there's a lot of people and there's just us. So
that's right.
Let's take another break.
You know, I said before, if you don't know what you're doing, you need to do it quickly. But in this case, that won't work. Because if you're losing your hair, it's really not up to you.
Well, and the quicker you lose it, the worse the result.
So I will add another slogan. If you don't know what you're doing, call somebody who does.
I like it. That's a good one.
There you go.
And call our friends at Keeps. They're the ones that are trying to help us keep our hair. So if you go to keeps.com, that's KEEPS.com/door, you get 50% off your first order of Keeps hair loss treatments. And they've got a safe product, one that'll come directly to your door. You go online, you don't have to go see a doctor, you don't have to go to the drugstore and all the things you would normally have to do. So go to keeps.com/door, you get 50% off your first order. That's keeps.com/door. If you don't know what you're doing,
yeah,
call somebody who does.
Who? Don't ask why.
He has a look now. He cuts the beard off.
I did.
Leaves the hair. I cut my hair off and leave the beard.
There you go.
So it's.
But you know what's disturbing? You're the first person that noticed that I actually trimmed my beard.
Yeah, I can tell it just shoot. It just.
You're right. I cut half of it off.
Yeah. This you got to watch this because this will get tangled up and stuff.
So we're asking Doug Dynasty questions.
We're asking Doug Dynasty. Right, here's one for you guys because this was from one of my favorite episodes. So,
unlike Phil, I haven't seen these questions.
Does the family personally know Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Well, yes.
And tell how that happened. We didn't know him before the episode, personally.
Well, right. I mean, I've forgotten the details, but I mean, he was.
So just to set it up, Jace and I and Willie loved wrestling, Mid-South wrestling.
That look, when my childhood was filled with wrestling.
So
Saturday, and some of the greatest moves that I ever did, you were a witness to some of them. I performed on one Willie. Because you look at the size of him, you're thinking, how in the world did you pull those moves off? It's called leverage. A lot of wrestling is about leverage.
So what we would do, so we watch Mid-South Wrestling, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan has to be our all-time favorite. He was patriotic. He had that 2x4. I mean, he was just a redneck, you know. But we would put a quilt down, which was our ring, in the living room on Saturday night. And then we would watch wrestling. And then as soon as wrestling was over, then we would do some of the things.
You'd start wrestling.
We started wrestling. We would do the moves. We just tried. Jake the Snake.
I broke bone. We had
the problem was we were breaking bones. And
it's kind of like Duck Dynasty. Our show was based on true stories.
I know I'm your father is seated here, but I never even paid any attention to that.
I think you're already in the bed by the
just
time
the guys
all this. Which shows you our house.
You know what? One of the questions I get asked at these events that I never have an answer to is a lot of people, usually women, they'll say, where were your parents when I'll tell a story about what? And I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't remember.
Now, you call me Dad.
Right.
Jace calls me Phil.
Yeah, so does Willie.
And a lot of people say, and Willie calls me Phil.
We get
Phil.
That question a lot.
I think that's the number one question.
Jeff, the youngest one, calls me Dad. Yep. You call me Dad.
Call me Dad.
But the two in the middle call me Phil. Like, hey, how you doing, Phil? Pretty good. So,
well, a lot of people,
lot of people have asked me, and they said, well, is that a sign of disrespect? Yeah. And I said, not to me.
Right.
I said, you know, my name is Phil.
So tell them the theory.
So whether it's Dad or Phil, you say, what's the dip?
You know,
so
I don't know.
What's your theory?
The number one answer was that since the business was tied to the personal phone, you wouldn't say, hang on, let me get my dad. Because they would say, I'd like to speak to Phil Robertson. I'm like, Daddy, come here. I would say, hold on for a second.
They were trying to be professional.
Phil,
you know,
Phil line one.
That explains
and
it.
We did do that a lot, and then it just kind of became.
Thought about it until someone asked me about it and said, are they disrespecting you, the two middle ones? And I'm like, no.
Well, it's probably true because I do notice, since I do a lot of business for you and with you, with your books and all that, that if I'm talking with a publicist about you, I would say Phil probably. We'll get Phil to do it. See what I'm saying? In a business world, I tend to even do that now myself. But if it's just me talking about you, I would usually say that.
You know what's funny is a lot of people that didn't like our show or us, they were like, these people are fakes. We have found pictures of them clean shaven on a beach. I'm like, we posted those, you moron. Because what? Now, the only thing dishonest is the exact opposite. What we would do every year, since we were the salesman and the manufacturers of the duck calls, we would all shave and
this
wear
was the,
khakis.
The post-dad era when you and Willie
yeah,
kind of
when
took
we
it
were
away.
Selling the duck calls and go to shows. And you say, well, why'd you do that? Why not be yourself? Because when we all look like we normally do, bearded and scraggly, no one would stop at our booth. And so if you would wear nicer clothes and shave, then they would stop at your booth, talk about these characters who you found who make the duck calls, which is us, but they don't
really. Because the beards weren't really branded. It was just yeah. You were trying to sell duck calls.
Look, I remember being in a meeting. I think it was Cabela's. I was in a meeting. All the, you know, Cabela's pretty big deal. I'm trying to sell them the duck calls, and one of the women said, I mean, where did you find these guys? And because she was looking at the cover of one of our videos, of which I was on, but I was the bearded version. And I wanted to say, that's actually me. But I just couldn't do it because I thought, I'll just give in to the narrative and I want to eat steak instead of, you know. So I'm trying to get you to buy our duck call. So that was the only thing that we really did coming up that was really not us, because I remember I thought, but I'm trying to sell the duck calls and I can't get my foot in the door with the bearded look, which is how I really was.
Right.
So
that's part of that whole deal.
And my old take on it was, you don't have to worry about talking to them. They want them, they'll call us. You know, they said,
which is really not a great
Dad,
business
you gotta get
model.
Out
Dad was not really a marketer or networker.
To your credit, you did say.
I've never been a businessman or a promoter.
But you said if God wants this to happen, and it was kind of like, you know, when we had our guest Rex, I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to be lazy. I mean, we was working our butts off. But you were kind of like, if God wants this to happen, it'll happen.
But, Dad, you also built a foundation of credibility because you were trying to make calls that sounded exactly like what they were supposed to call. Yep. And so your focus was much more on that than on the trying to
that
make it
correct.
A business. Or.
And back then, marketing wasn't really the driving force. I mean, you weren't sitting around talking about your brand.
Jace did end
you didn't
up
have
as
many the
better salesman. He could go talk to the Walmart buyers, and they'd have a
well,
big
Jace
time.
Well, Jace had the mix of both. Yeah. I mean, he had enough of the credibility and ability to use it, but then also was kind of a bridge.
Jace one time went to meet with Walmart. We're all down here saying, boy, you know, hope it goes well. Well, Miss Kay was asking about him. Well, he comes back. We said, Jace, how big is the order? Jay said, nope, no order. He said, I walked away from the table. I said, you did what?
Yeah, I did.
He said, I walked away from the table. He said, he'll come around. He said, but he's driving too hard a bargain on that price. And he said, so I'm on.
Which was one of the worst decisions I ever made was telling you the actual truth. Because after that, I never did again. And, you know, we'd come back and Kay would call, well, how's the big order? You know, how'd it go? I was like, went fantastic. I hung up. And Missy's like, you didn't tell him that you got up and walked out? And he said, I will never buy your duck calls as long as I live. Like, I left that part out. But it was just in negotiations. There was a price.
Jace was quite the negotiator.
Well, yeah. There was a price that – it's not rocket science. There was a price that I thought – because I'm looking at all the numbers. Y'all are not. This is not worth it. We cannot survive and make a comfortable living on this price. So it's just out of the question.
And Walmart's whole motto is to take it down to
the
lowest
Walmart
possible.
Buyer ran up on Jace a few years later, and he said, I was just bluffing. He said, I told you. He said, I don't watch him old DVDs. Yeah. He said, I watched every one of them. But he said, I didn't want Jace to think. You know, okay, you got me.
Well, but he
said they trained us to do that.
Yeah, he's like, we had to put you to the test because they know if you pass, I'm not caving in. I have the number. And so that's the number.
But that's why I was saying that's why the foundation to all this, every business model, if you got a product, You need to be able to have people that want that product. If you, a lot of this stuff now is built totally on just smoke and mirrors.
Yep.
They're marketing
instead of demand.
That's right. They're marketing and branding things that aren't worth a crap. And so
but
that's
I will say this, Al. I was street smart, but like Willie was more. He did. I mean, when he took over, it was way better because he did the same things. He just didn't. He wasn't so barbaric in his approach.
And he was. And Willie's one of his greatest gifts is being able to get in with a group of people and build a bridge.
I mean, he's really,
really good at it. And so that helped us kind of mark the whole thing. Let's take one last break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
So here's a pretty good one. Did we finish with Hacksaw Jim Duggan? We never finished that. So So here's the deal. So we had the wrestling, and they did a surprise reveal. We didn't know he was going to be on the episode.
I didn't know.
Big truck backed up, and you had a couple of wrestlers, which were local guys. They were professional wrestlers, but they were from this area. And then all of a sudden you have, Hacksaw Jim Duggan comes out. Of course, it was funny.
They were the only wrestlers I've ever actually seen in person.
Yeah, and it was cold.
Let me give you the backstory. There was a few episodes that were filmed from a distance, and that was one of them. None of us knew they were coming because we were doing that for Mia.
Right, it's the Mia episode.
And we told them, because they would interview us during the week, like, what y'all got going? Like, we're going to do this. You're welcome to film it. But... And what I mean from a distance is some things you would film, and then that we would have to film it again because in the camera world, they get close-ups
get
or
all
wides.
Shots,
So it is, you've already filmed it, but they have to get their shots. On that particular deal, it's they shot it one time, they got it, it was an event.
All the Robertson family was on the episode, all your siblings.
Yeah.
I think only Judy was the only one that wasn't still alive. And that was cool to us because all our cousins got to be on it. But it was brutally cold, and the wrestlers had these little tights on and no shirt. And, I mean, it is cold. It's one of those Louisiana's about 32 with about a 18, 20-mile-an-hour northwest wind. Both days we filmed. Brutal. And I just remember being cold the whole time we filmed. These guys come out, and one of them, the local wrestlers, came out, and Willie said, "Dude, I don't want to, sound too personal, but right now your nipples could cut glass."
Yeah, I remember that. We all laughed. Well, saying what everyone's thinking, because I was like, it's one thing to be out here, we're all cold. These guys don't have a shirt on.
So Hacksaw comes out, they do some wrestling. We're going crazy because we didn't know they were bringing him on the show, and he was literally our childhood favorite. And, of course, Hacksaw, this has been, 25 years ago, so he's a little saggy. Just some regular shorts on.
But you know what? That guy was awesome.
He was awesome. And we met him. And so here's what I wanted to tell about this, which is why I wanted to ask this question. So that was the first day of filming. The second day, they came back out and I think shot one more scene, wrestling scene. And then they wanted to do a big picture with these guys before, with all of us. And we couldn't find Hacksaw. We couldn't find Dad. And so I said, "Well, I'll go up." Usually they send some PA. I said, I'll go look for him. So I went up to the house. So Dad's sitting in the recliner. Hacksaw Jim Duggan is down on his, just sitting down on the floor. And there's your kick thing is up on your chair. And you've got your Bible laid out. And I just remember walking in, it was just such a surreal thing because I thought Hacksaw Jim Duggan is sitting on the floor yeah. where we used to watch him and redo all his moves, and you were just sharing Jesus with him, which he was mm-hmm. he was already a believer, but you were just making sure, you know, and y'all were having a discussion. So I turned around and went back out, and I said, hey, they got a thing going on. We'll do that in just a few minutes. I mean, I wanted that to play itself out. Yep. But I just thought that was a really surreal
You know,
moment.
Every story you could tell about guests like that, I mean, you could say the same thing with ZZ Top. We were with them numerous times, and they wanted to be a part of
oh,
our
yeah.
show
right.
as much as we wanted them to be a part of it. And we got to know them, and we had the same conversations, and
right.
we hung out. I mean – I think
as many times as we've listened to their music, I was thinking, you know, going down the road, me, you, and Willie, you know, we love ZZ Top. And then later, yeah. who would ever know 20 years later, we'd all be doing a
well,
show.
I look again. Back on those were some of the moments I did love about the show is we were just hanging out, talking about really what you went, just life
yeah.
and you know, goofing off. But I'm sure behind the scenes, whoever was making those decisions about getting people lined up, I'm sure it was chaos and all that. But from our perspective, it was just enjoying relationships. And I think you think it's, you know, people think it's a bigger deal. And we're just, everybody's just normal human beings when you,
right.
when you peel everything back. And we like their music. They like how we live life. So it was actually a perfect match.
He was a
you know?
Race car driver as a Boyer.
Oh, yeah.
He was on an episode. He was a great guy.
I mean, it. We just had a lot of fun every time there was the guests were
yeah.
involved.
Yeah. It's kind of like it is with the podcast. I love when we have somebody on here.
Yeah.
It just kind of gives you another view of other people's world. Well, I will say this. We're about out of time. I think as I started with this, all the stuff that happened on the show and the fun we had doing it and the fun the audience had, because so many people, I get so many emails that talk about, I was going through the worst time. I just got one this week. You know, they had a kid in the hospital and, you know, it was just a tough time for them. And then, but the show was like a something they could escape.
Yeah, too short nose here. The last question, do you miss filming the show? No. Will you ever reprise the show? No. What do you have to say about that, Jace? That's
I mean,
me.
We may be on other shows. I mean, you can probably tell. We get asked so many questions about the show. I don't really – this is not one of my favorite things to do. But I realize that we get them so much. People want to know.
Yeah.
And so we don't mind every once in a while. Answering
well,
I'll
tell
questions.
You the impact I had, Dad. So, what? So I met a girl in Iowa, and we were signing books, and she came up to me. She's a college-age girl, and she said, I just want to tell you what Duck Dynasty meant to me. All my teenage years, so her whole high school career, freshman to senior, was the run of the show. And she said, we got together every Wednesday night after church with all my closest friends and watched the show. And when she was telling me this story, it hit me. I thought her whole childhood or I mean her old like teenage years, she's going to connect to our show. She'll never forget that, the impact that it was her friends, it was her social event of her life.
Huh.
And so when I saw that, I thought, man, there's a lot of people out there that have been impacted more than we know.
Well, but Al, I will say this, whenever this comes up, I say the same thing because I believe it 100%. What was refreshing is that Hollywood does not represent middle America shows and the thing, our lifestyle. And so we finally had something, and we all know it kind of got on air by accident because they weren't
right.
They didn't want us just to be ourselves and represent middle America. I think the idea was kind of to make fun of us a little bit.
I think that's where it started.
And but
I don't think the show could, I don't think what, the show would ever air today. Like I think now with this polarized climate, we couldn't even get on there.
So what happened was, and I'll just tell you, in the normal making of a show, the talent is threatened. Now they call us the talent, and they're threatened monetarily. Or, but you know, they hadn't met our family. It's like, oh no, we don't.
I said so many things about spiritual matters when they would give us those interviews uptown.
Yep.
We drive up there. But they never run them. They never ran them.
Well, that's me. People always
and
ask
just,
me. They're
I
like,
just didn't like the idea I wanted to get some, get the gospel out there.
But here's where God gets the last.
All we got away with was a prayer, and we.
But here's where God gets the last laugh.
But don't mock the power of prayer.
That's right. Because of that happening, though, Deb, even though they never aired it, that's what's created this vehicle for us to be able to. Because these are the same folks that are watching.
Well, everybody I run up on, they say the same thing. They say, you're way more skinny than you looked on TV because TV makes you look bigger. And you're way more serious. And I'm like, well, every time I was serious or had a spiritual conversation, I knew that wasn't going to make it. Because the power of editing, that, you know, I mean, I goof off some.
It just sort of grated on me that I wanted to tell people about Jesus.
Look, it's all part of the plan.
Not me, because I think what happened is God allowed that to be a success so that later we would have avenues like this to tell what we really believe. And look, we do have do have a good time because we're not thin-skinned, which in our culture I think is a breath of fresh air.
Yes, yes.
But really it's because we all truly believe that we're forgiven and that we're going to heaven, we're going to live forever. So we don't take ourselves that seriously. And when you do that, a lot of good times come out of that. I mean, you can make fun of each other all the way. I mean, if I couldn't make fun of Willie, I wouldn't even know our relationship would crumble.
Or him, you.
Yeah, or him, me. And guess what? I can take it.
All right, that's all for this edition.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.